Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seifker, your host for the program, so very happy and blessed to be here with you today on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, depending on whether you're listening to me on Friday, January 20th, or Sunday, January 22nd, we are on the sixth or the fourth day of the nationwide Novena for Life, with this coming Monday, January 23rd, marking the day of prayer and penance for the legal protection of unborn children. If you haven't yet committed to participating in the Novena for Life, I encourage you to go to respectlife.org, click on the Prayers for Life heading, and then select 9 days for life so that you can get access to the prayers and meditations for this novena. And we all need to be sure to take some time to decide how we are going to make Monday, January 23rd, a special day of prayer and penance for the protection of the most vulnerable among us, the children in the womb. Last week, we talked about these events in greater detail, as well as about the 6th Annual Indiana March for Life, which will be held on January 23rd, starting with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at 10:30 a.m. at St. John the Evangelist Church in Indianapolis, followed by a procession for life from Georgia Street to the State House. This is a critical time for our state because our 5 Indiana Supreme Court justices heard beginning oral arguments for a suit brought against Indiana's near total abortion ban just this past Thursday, January 19th. Our prayers, penances, and sufferings are really needed right now to help obtain graces for the justices to do the right thing and uphold the ban that the state legislature passed last August that would reduce the number of abortions in the state by about 95% or so. It's not perfect, but it would be a phenomenal start to building up a culture of life here in the Hoosier State. We need to be very generous with our prayers and sacrifices now as lawsuits against the state's abortion ban are being heard and deliberated. Well, last Saturday, January 14th, the Feast of the Infant Jesus of Prague was celebrated in some corners of the church, especially among the Carmelites. We're going to talk about this beautiful devotion to the infant Jesus and how it could serve as a catalyst to ushering in a culture of life and purity. But as always, before we go any further, let's begin in prayer. St. Maximilian Kolbe, patron of the pro-life movement, hear this prayer of supplication that we address to you with confidence. St. Maximilian, we honor your life that was guided by the unshakable faith and the mystery of the Incarnation. We admire your public witness for the sanctity of life and your ultimate sacrifice for the life of another when you offered yourself to save a fellow prisoner. We pray, please move the consciences of those contemplating abortion. Please move to repentance and healing the women and men who have chosen abortion over the gift of life. Please intercede for all unborn children. Pray that their mothers will see, hear, and know that what they carry in their womb is a person, a special and unique gift from God, our Creator. Please comfort the women who suffer from post-abortion trauma and inspire them to seek spiritual and psychological help. Please sustain the courage and wisdom of the pro-life movement so that they may be peaceful witnesses to the sanctity of life. Please move the hearts of our lawmakers, judges, and fellow citizens so the scourge of abortion will no longer be the law of the land. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. Beginning oral arguments were heard by the Indiana Supreme Court justices this past Thursday in a lawsuit brought by Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers against Indiana's near-total abortion ban. During the hour-long hearing, the justices scrutinized counsel on both sides and promised to deliver a ruling on the current injunction in a timely manner. Meanwhile, Shelley Yoder, a former Monroe County Council member and current State House member, was busy proposing Senate Bill 311 that would repeal the state's abortion ban and restore all abortion laws to where they were prior to SB 1. Commenting on Thursday's hearing at the state Supreme Court, Mike Fichter, president and CEO of Indiana Right to Life, said, "There is no right to abortion in the Indiana Constitution. The United States Supreme Court made it clear that abortion policy is to be decided by the people of each state, which is exactly what happened when the Indiana legislature acted following the overturning of Roe v. Wade. We hope the court will act quickly in upholding the new law so Indiana can move forward in ending the majority of abortions in our state. There is a great urgency to the court acting swiftly as over 150 unborn children continue to die from abortion in Indiana every week the new law remains blocked," Fichter stated. And Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita has joined 21 other attorneys general in pushing back against the dangerous FDA rule change on abortion pill distribution. Earlier this month, Biden's Food and Drug Administration gave the green light to retail pharmacies to begin distributing abortion drugs to terminate the lives of unborn children. In a letter dated January 13, the 22 state attorneys general urged the FDA to reverse its decision. "Though the FDA has abdicated its responsibility to protect women's health, we have not. To be crystal clear, you have not negated any of our laws that forbid the remote prescription, administration, and use of abortion-inducing drugs," the letter writers declared. "The health and safety of our citizens, women and children included, is of paramount concern. Nothing in the FDA's recent changes affects how we will protect our people," the letter stated. Since the FDA's announcement, Walgreens and CVS have made plans to offer the deadly cocktail at their chain stores. However, here in Indiana, the pharmacies are prevented from doing so by Indiana law. And sadly, 25 unborn children were killed by the violence of abortion this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Again this week, the majority of the women came from counties around the Hoosier State, with a few coming up from Kentucky. Please keep praying for miracles and conversions of hearts, and that this place of death there at 421 South College Avenue will one day soon be changed into a haven for life. And that's your weekly In the News. Well, before we get into devotion to the infant Jesus of Prague, I wanted to draw your attention to something sinister that happened in the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives right before Christmas. And that was the passage of an omnibus spending bill, a package which the Heritage Foundation called a vast collection of special interest handouts and fuel for the fires of inflation and the woke leftist establishment. The conservative think tank warned that the bill will stifle our economy and accelerate the dissolution of the fabric of our civil society for many years to come. Critics noted how it was unprecedented for an outgoing Congress to pass such a large spending bill, saying that it should have waited for the newly elected representatives. This spending bill contained over 6,800 pages and included 4,000 earmarks to pay for the pet projects of senators and representatives. One of the saddest things was that 18 Republican senators joined Democrats in passing the $1.7 trillion package, including Senator Todd Young, who has once again betrayed Hoosiers. The more sane legislators tried to call attention to the numerous examples of pork spending embedded in the bill, including scores of left-wing, anti-life, anti-family priorities, like including $260 million for the Title X Family Planning Program, which in turn will fund the abortion giant Planned Parenthood. There are also a multitude of projects funded for LGBTQ and transgender ideologies. North Carolina's Representative Dan Bishop also noted that there was at least $575 million set aside for so-called family planning and reproductive health in areas where population growth threatens biodiversity. Malthusianism is a disturbing anti-human ideology that should have zero place in any federal program, Representative Bishop tweeted. Also commenting on this spending of taxpayer money for such a nightmarish undertaking, Minnesota Representative-elect Walter Hudson said, "There's a chilling anti-human synergy between the left's pet projects, from throttling energy production and raising the cost of living to outright killing people in the womb. It's all about making fewer, less vibrant, and wholly dependent people. It's truly evil," Hudson stated. So basically, our government is spending millions upon millions of taxpayer dollars to try and wipe out what many of our elected officials believe is the virus of the human race in order to protect endangered species. So, With the help of 18 Republican senators, including Hoosier Senator Todd Young, the U.S. Senate voted 68-29 on December 22nd to pass this monstrosity that, in many ways never before seen, funds a culture of death and impurity. The following day, on December 23rd, the U.S. House voted 225-201 to pass the bill, with 9 Republicans voting in favor of it. And on Thursday, December 29th, President Joe Biden signed it into law. The worst thing about all of this is that the omnibus runs through fiscal year 2023. So newly elected House of Representative members are basically hogtied in their first year of office. For the love of money is the root of all evils, St. Paul wrote to Timothy. Well, as we so often say on Pro-Life to the Max, the physical killing and violence done to little children in the womb is sadly not the only moral atrocity going on in our country and world. There are also great evils afoot that are destroying the innocence and purity of children's souls, and many of these too are being funded by taxpayer dollars. Never before in the history of mankind has the sexualization of children been so out in the open and intense as it is right now in our culture. And last month, the month in which we celebrated the Nativity of the Divine Child Jesus, we were given several glimpses of just how bad things are. It started with a shocking and disturbing ad campaign by the high fashion brand Balenciaga that sexualized young children. The ads featured toddlers dressed in masochism gear and holding stuffed animals, with a court document about child pornography partially hidden in one image. There was a fair amount of outrage produced over the ads, but sadly it seemed short-lived. So few seem to care about the physical, emotional, and spiritual harm being done to children in order to feed the greed and lust of many adults. Those ads should have been a wake-up call that, as a whole, parents, teachers, lawmakers, and any other responsible adults are failing to protect children. They have permitted them to be sexualized, the gravest of sins. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of things that cause sin. Such things must come, but woe to the one through whom they come," Jesus told us. It was also revealed at the beginning of December that an executive from the sex education branch of the abortion giant Planned Parenthood believes that people are sexual from birth and that children should be indoctrinated with so-called porn literacy as part of a sex education program. The executive, Mr. Bill Taverner, called for sex education to be taught to children as young as 5 years old. Planned Parenthood has an educational branch called the Responsible Sex Education Institute. It's composed of, in their own words, trained sex education experts who are skilled at facilitating groups of all ages and abilities in a variety of settings such as schools, community organizations, and churches. One of the organization's documents, entitled Fundamentals of Teaching Sexuality, states that sexuality is a part of life through all ages and stages. Babies, elders, and everyone in between can experience sexuality, it says. Remember, such sexualization of children is being funded through that omnibus spending package that Congress passed late last month, giving Planned Parenthood millions of dollars to do so. And then there were all the drag queen Christmas shows targeting and attacking children and families. Marketed as all ages shows, the depraved displays of men impersonating women and the use of highly sexual images and innuendos are such an assault on the innocence of children and families that it boggles the mind. We don't hear about too many of our government leaders condemning these sorts of things or doing anything about them, except for maybe Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. But when you've already allowed the graphic content found in the comprehensive sex education programs to be taught in schools, it doesn't take too much of a leap to go to this next level. Nelson Mandela once said, "Children are our greatest treasure. They are our future." Those who abuse them tear at the fabric of society and weaken a nation. And that's precisely what the communist and socialist left wants to do. If they can get to the children, tear down their natural innocence, and indoctrinate them, they have control. Chaos and bedlam follow, and the powers that be can now come in and dominate the populace. Genuine freedom and rights are then completely lost to the hands of tyrannical leaders. We are well down that path right now. There is no way, humanly speaking, out of this mess that we find ourselves in. The evils, especially those perpetrated against children, who are our future and greatest treasure, are too great for us. Yet, fight on, we must. But more importantly, we need supernatural help. And one of the most beautiful and powerful aids that we have at our disposal comes from devotion to the child Jesus, specifically the infant of Prague. How apropos is this devotion, given that it is children who are suffering the most grievously in our current culture. Many Catholics have probably never heard much about this special devotion to the Infant of Prague, which has its origins around the 16th century, though early church fathers like St. Athanasius and St. Jerome had a special devotion to the child Jesus. Later on, saints like Bernard of Clairvaux, Teresa of Avila, Therese of the Child Jesus, Francis of Assisi, and Anthony of Padua all helped to popularize devotion to the child Jesus. In fact, it is said that St. Teresa of Avila traveled with her statue of the Holy Child whenever she made visits to the convents. In the 1300s, sculptures of the child Jesus, usually made out of wax or wood, grew in popularity as more Catholics grew fond of meditating upon the early years and hidden life of our Savior. But in 1556, a Spanish noblewoman who was marrying a Czech nobleman brought with her to her new family a statue of the Holy Child Jesus, standing at about 18 inches in height, and known as the first Infant of Prague statue. Tradition holds that this statue came from a monastery in Bohemia and had been obtained by the mother of the bride as a wedding gift for her daughter. In turn, when her own daughter married, the noblewoman passed it along as well. The statue was then bequeathed to some discalced Carmelites at the Church of the Virgin Mary the Victorious in Prague. The princess reputedly told the Carmelites, "I am giving you what I most esteem of my possessions. Keep the sculpture in reverence, and you will be well off." That was around the year 1628. In 1631, Swedish troops invaded Prague, ravaging the Catholic churches. The Carmelites were forced to flee as the soldiers destroyed and desecrated the church and high altar and cast the statue of the child Jesus into a pile of rubble, breaking its arms and fingers. In 1638, the Carmelites were able to return to Prague and to the Church of the Virgin Mary the Victorious. In a destitute and seemingly hopeless situation, the Carmelites recalled the words of the pious princess, "Keep the sculpture in reverence, and you will be well off." Their priest, Father Cyril, quickly found the statue of the Christ child buried in the ruins of the church and cleaned it up and placed it in the oratory for veneration. One day, as Father Cyril was praying before the statue, he heard the child Jesus say to him, "Have pity on me, and I will take pity on you. Give me hands, and I will give you peace. The more you honor me, the more I will bless you." Father Cyril felt impelled to repair the infant's hands, but he and his religious brothers had neither the skill nor the money to do so. Father Cyril turned to the infant's mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, begging her to come to the aid of her divine son. Once more, as Father Cyril prayed before the statue, the infant spoke to him again. "Place me near the entrance of the sacristy, and you will receive aid." Father immediately did just that, and within a few days, a man came to the sacristy after Mass to offer his help. The man's donations paid for the repair of the statue, and thereafter, the monastery never had to face poverty again. From that time on, numerous miracles began to occur, and pilgrims to the church followed. In 1641, an altar was built where the statue was enshrined, and in 1644, a special chapel was built. On January 14, 1651, the Czech nobleman Bernard Ignatius presented a gold crown embellished with stones to be placed on the head of the statue, hence the chosen liturgical feast day of the Infant of Prague, January 14th. In 1648, the Archbishop of Prague officially approved the devotion to the Holy Child Jesus under the title the Infant of Prague. From that time on, devotion to the Holy Infant has continued to spread throughout the world, and favors are continually reported. The image of the Infant of Prague is a very unique and an exceptionally beautiful one, as the child is dressed in embroidered royal vestments, holding in his left hand a miniature globe surmounted by a cross, signifying the worldwide kingship of the Christ child. His right hand is extended in blessing, with the first two fingers being upraised to symbolize the two natures of Christ, while the folded thumb and the last two fingers touch each other, representing the unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. On first thought, it might seem unusual to see the divine child dressed in such magnificent royal robes and wearing a crown. But we could look at it as being the manifestation of his hidden greatness that we can sometimes lose sight of when we contemplate his sweet, youthful, innocent face and small stature. I actually keep a statue of the Infant of Prague on my desk at home, and I even carried a little plastic statue of him around throughout my younger years as I moved around, having recourse to his aid, which he so generously bestowed on many occasions. When I was around 11 years old, I was attending a summer vacation Bible school at my local parish with some Benedictine nuns from the Archdiocese. They were incredible sisters who loved to teach children about the faith. Well, one day, a couple of the sisters told us about devotion to the Infant of Prague and how the Divine Child loves to answer the prayers of little children. Wanting to learn more, I approached one of the sisters, and she gave me a novena to the Infant of Prague to pray. Overcome with excitement and hope, the first chance I got, I ran into the church, which housed in the back a statue of the Infant of Prague. The sister had told me that it was okay to make the novena all at once if you couldn't do it over 9 days or 9 hours. So with that little booklet in hand, that's precisely what I did. Kneeling in that darkened church before the Divine Child, I prayed the 9 prayers. When I got to the part where you state your intention, I rattled off 3 major petitions. Firstly, that my dad, who was a truck driver amidst the violent Teamsters strike in 1979, would be kept safe. Secondly, that my grandparents would reconcile with our family. You see, I had been conceived out of wedlock, and so my mom and dad had brought shame upon the good Catholic family, and my grandparents had a hard time dealing with it. And thirdly, I asked for help, especially for my mom, to clear a clogged drain that was causing major disruptions in our household. Unable to pour any water down the drains, we had to carry all the used water out by buckets. This had been going on for days because we were unable to find the right kind of snake, that is, the right flexible wire to get down into the pipes to clear the clog. I remember praying for these intentions with the heart of an innocent child, not really thinking that they would be answered, but just knowing that I did ask from the one who could, if it was his will, resolve them all. Well, that afternoon when I got home, I walked in to find my mother beaming with joy and disbelief. Her first words to me were, "You're never going to believe what all happened today." She then proceeded to tell me that my dad had called to say that the nationwide truckers' strike had been called off, and that meant my dad would be safe. Then she told me how my grandmother had called, inviting us over to dinner, a major breakthrough. Finally, she said that the drains were all cleared now. They had found the right sized wire to get around the bends of the plumbing, and we could now run water and let it drain out normally. Even now, I think back upon this incredible grace that our family received through the intercession of the Infant of Prague. It was all quite miraculous, and I went back the very next day to reveal the great news to the Benedictine sisters. They, of course, were astonished and so happy to hear that once again the Infant of Prague's promise, "The more you honor me, the more I will bless you," was abundantly fulfilled. What pity the Divine Child took upon our poor little family. And he wants to do that for every child and for every family. We need some major moral miracles, especially considering the state of family life and the loss of innocence and purity of our children. And yet devotion to the child Jesus, to the Infant of Prague specifically, should give us great hope in obtaining these necessary miracles. I know this to be true as I have witnessed it firsthand. The Holy Infant is calling us to a deeper humility and simplicity, to become like little children, pleasing to Christ the King. About the only thing we can do right now is to rely on Him to get us out of this mess that we have made. Let's spread devotion to the Infant of Prague and encourage others to contemplate His innocence, purity, and love for mankind, especially children. If you don't have a statue of the Infant of Prague, I encourage you to get one and place it in a prominent spot in your home. Turn reverently to Him often and with a child's heart. Beg for His intercession, not only for personal family matters, but for the whole world. Let's close out today with a little prayer to the Infant Jesus, begging for courage and wisdom for our 5 Indiana Supreme Court justices and on behalf of all the innocent children suffering in the world. Dearest Jesus, little Infant of Prague, how tenderly You love us. Your greatest joy is to dwell among us and to bestow Your blessing upon us. Though I am not worthy that You should help me, I feel drawn to You by love because You are kind and merciful. So many who turn to You with confidence have received and had their petitions granted. Behold me as I come before You. Lay open my heart to You with its prayers and hopes. I present to You especially this request, which I enclose in Your loving heart. We pray that our state Supreme Court justices will uphold Indiana's abortion ban and that all unborn children be kept safe. Rule over me, dear Infant Jesus, and do with me and mine according to Your holy will. For I know that in Your divine wisdom and love, You will arrange everything for the best. Do not withdraw Your hand from me, but protect and bless me forever. I pray You, all-powerful and gracious Infant Jesus, for the sake of Your sacred infancy, in the name of Your blessed Mother Mary, who cared for You with such tenderness, and by the greatest reverence with which Saint Joseph carried You in his arms, help me in my needs. Make me truly happy with You, dearest infant, in time and in eternity, and I shall thank You forever with all my heart. Amen. Until next time, let us heed the warning of Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.